Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Sanhedrin Daf Tesvav. We are on the way bottom of Yudal and Beis, actually two lines from the bottom. Ha'erchen, the Mishnah says, Erchen HaMetatalin. So, objects which have to do with Erchen require three Dayanim to evaluate, to appraise their value. Now, what exactly is this? Erchen HaMetatalin. Erchen typically refers to a person pledging his erech. This is a fixed rate established by the Torah based on gender, based on age. Typically, it relates to people. It doesn't relate to items, to belongings. So, what does the Mishnah mean? My erech and hametatlin. We have several approaches to this. Amar Gidla Marav. We're speaking as follows. Ba'omer, a person gets up and declares, erech kli ze alai. Okay, I'm giving the erech of this kli, which is not really applicable. Erech and kli don't go together, Rashi says. It only goes to a person. It refers to a person. So what does he mean when he says erech kli ze alai? He meant, you know what, I'm giving the actual market value. Okay, not based on the fixed rates established by Torah, which pertains to individuals, to people. Damar v'gidam arava oimer erech kli ze alai. So although he's using the wrong, so to speak, you know, expression, but he knows. Rashi says, a person knows, the idea who he knows that erech and kli don't really go together. There's no set rate in the Torah for a kli. What he really meant to say is, I'm going to donate its value as per, you know, market appraisal. So again, ha'imer erech kli ze alai, no yisein damav. He must donate the value of that kli, and that's when you need three people to sit down and appraise it as per the Mishnah. Va'amar l'shem damim. Adam yedeh she'em erech kli v'gomar va'amar l'shem damim. He knows erech and kli are not really synonymous. He meant to say, he's not going to just speak for nothing, right? So he meant to say, right, ein adam moitzi dvarav l'vatala, says Rashi. He meant to say, I'm going to give its value. Mishmachet, that explains why he has to pay the value. Noisin damim. Asks the Gemara, well, it doesn't really fit with the lashon in the Mishnah. Hay erchen hametaltelin. Why does the Mishnah call it like that? Erchen hametaltelin. It sounds like the erech is an object which is moved. It should say erchen shel metaltelin meboile. The Mishnah should say when he's pledging the erech of metaltelin, the value of metaltelin. So it doesn't work with the lashon haMishnah. Tani, okay. Apparently, we'll have to revise the Mishnah erchen shel metaltelin to fit it with our pshat. That's the first approach. So we're speaking about a person who committed, who pledged the erech of an item. Instead of giving the erech, he gives the actual value. Rav Chisda Amar Avimi, he has a different pshat in the Mishnah, b'matfis metatlin le'erech. So what happened was, he pledged his own erech, my erech, erech ki alai, I'm giving my erech. Take a look at the Torah, depends on age, on right? So he owes $50. And he says, okay, $50, let me give these items in lieu of that money. Okay, so he says, Harei Elu Le'erech, he says Rashi, Harei Elu Le'erech, these are going to be posted towards my Erech obligation. B'matfis metatlin Le'erech. So then it becomes Kadesh, right? And then he wants to redeem it. You need three people to evaluate it, to determine its value before proceeding with that redemption process. Asks the Gemara once again, but how does that fit with the wording in the Mishnah? Hay erchen hametatlin. Why does Mishnah call it like that? Metatlin shel erchen miboyle. These are the metatlin paid for, that he used to pay for the erchen. It should be worded like that. Okay, let's revise it. Tani, metatlin shel erchen. Rabbi Avo Amar, Rabbi Avo has a different pshat. Was speaking ba'omer erki alai. He committed his own erech. Okay, that's it. Straightforward. I'm giving my erech. And the Kohen decided, okay, it's time to pay up. So he comes to this fellow's house, and he's coming to seize his car, right? Bo Kohen ligbois mimenu metatlin. So if he's coming to collect metatlin, v'shloisha, you need three people to appraise its value, to determine, you know, how much of it will be posted towards his debt. Karko is basora. He's coming to seize this donor's karka. You need 10 people, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So it's basically going into Hegdash rather than leaving the Hegdash. That triggers a question. I understand. According to the other approach, where you're trying to take it away from Hegdash, you have to redeem it. You have to ensure proper evaluation. Right? Bein and Shlesha. Three people to evaluate it, to ensure that Hegdash is not being shortchanged. Ela le'yulik le'hegdash, but in the last pshat, where you're bringing it into Hegdash, Shlesha lamadi, why do you need three people to sit down and evaluate it? Why is that so serious? I'm really sparrow. He said it's plain logic. Mali, ayuli, mali, afuki, what difference? Whether you're bringing it into Hegdash or taking it away from Hegdash. Look, afuki, my time, why? When you take it away, you need three. Dumotoy, perhaps so. There's room for error. Ayulinami, likewise, you need donating. When you're giving it in, dumotoy, there's room for error. And you must make sure that it's properly evaluated. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says that when you do the pidyon here, you need at least one. One of them should be a kohen. Okay? So the question is, I understand Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Because that's why the pasuk mentions the word kohen in this context, of evaluating the erech, to indicate that we need at least one of these three members to be a kohen. El Rabban who say, you can employ even three ordinary yidden. You don't need a kohen. Kohen lomeli. So why does the Torah mention kohen kasha? Kohen lomeli, not kasha. We leave it as a question. Interesting that this is a recurring thing in this Masechta over and over. We see, we leave off as a kasha. Very unusual. Okay. Hakar kohes tishav a kohen. So when you evaluate karka pertaining to Eli Hegdish, you need nine individuals plus a kohen, a whole minion. Minan Amila, how do we know this is true? Amar Shmuel, Asar Kehanim, Ksivim B'Parsha. Take a look at the whole discussion there in the Parsha regarding redemptions. We have the word kohen mentioned 10 times. Chad L'Gufei, one for its own sake, that you need a kohen. Now, why the repetition over and over again, right? Hanich, so all the other mentionings of the word kohen, have a miyut achar miyut. This is a formula, interesting formula in Shas that we have. Exception followed by another exception. It's like it ends up being a ripui, an expansion, because like it's like two negatives make it positive, so to speak. So if you have another coin, it's telling you really, it's coming to add, it's coming to expand, to allow more. So we have restriction, it says coin, another restriction, coin. No, not only coin, it's coming to add. That even a Yisrael works. Afilu tes Yisrael v'echad kain. One kain you need, but the rest can be in Yisrael. That's what we get to this configuration. Maskev l'Rav Kahuna bar Rav Nosson. I understand that miut followed by a miut is coming to include. But let's do it sequentially. We have 10 kainanim, right? Mentioned in the parsha. So the first one is for its own sake, literally a kain. Second one is another restriction that's coming to go back to Yisrael. Right, to allow Israel, but then followed by the next coin, again a limitation, you know, coin. Followed the next one, it's an expansion. So it should basically be back and forth. Coin Israel, coin Israel, coin Israel, for a total of five koyanim, five Israelim. Eimo chamisha koyanim, v'chamisha Israel, you should need five and five. Why do we allow even if it's only one? Kash, again, we leave it as a kash. V'odim koyitza behen. Likewise, the aloha of 10 people in the evaluation process applies to redeeming a person. Now, when is a person going to become Kaddish? Adam be Kaddish? How could you be Kaddish a person? He's not a, you know. Amr Bevo was speaking, but Amr Dmei Alai. Basically, a person promised, he donated his own market value. Right? So the person himself doesn't become Kaddish, but his value does. You have to, a person pledges, but he has to pay the value. So how do you evaluate his real value? You need a full minion to do that. The Sani, as we find in a Braisa, right? So Imra Dmei Alai, a person promises, pledges to donate his own personal value. Shaman Oisai, so we evaluate him, Ke'eved Anu Ke'Rashuk, we view him like an Eved, like a slave being sold in the marketplace, right? That becomes his determined value. And 10 people are required for that. Because Ve'eved Iskash L'Karkois, we find in the Pasuk, it says, V'snachaltam Oisam, pertaining to Avadim Knanim, they're like estates, they're like Karka, which require a minion for redemption, for evaluation. By Rabbi Abin. Interesting question. Suppose a person has long hair and he donated that hair to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's trying to redeem it. How many people? How many do you need a full minion? Is it treated like the person himself, or is it just like an item? By Rabbi Abin, Seyar Ha'imed the Gazes. It's not just regular hair, it's long hair about to be shorn. It's on its way off. Is it considered part of the person, or is it a separate entity? Become how many people are needed to evaluate it? Shall we say Kigozes Domet as though it's been removed and shorn, Uber Shloisha? It's like a regular possession, a regular item. Three people are enough for that evaluation. Oikimachuber Domi Basara, perhaps it's still part of the person, as long as it's on him. And therefore we need 10 people to evaluate the value. Toshma, we bring a raya, Hamagdish is Avdoi, Ein Moyal and Boy of person. Donated his Eved Kanani to Beis Hamikdash. If a person comes along and diverts the Eved, uses the Eved for his own personal use, he has not committed Me'ila, that grave sin, which requires paying the penalty and the carbon, because as Rashi says, an Eved and Karka synonymous, like we said before, has a status of real estate. And therefore there's no Me'ila on an Eved, just as there is no Me'ila by Karka. That's the Tanakhama. However, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, true, on the Eved himself there's no Me'ila, but Me'al B'Sa'arai, if a person has enough from the hair of this donated Eved, there is Me'ila. Why? The Kaimelon we explained, the B'Sa'arai Ha'emed Ligzais Pligi. The dispute here, whether or not there's Me'ila on here, we're speaking about hair which is about to be shorn. Sounds way off. Shemamina, so we see it's a Machlekes Tanaim. Tanakama says, no, as long as it's on the person, it's part of the person. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, if it's on its way off, it's treated like a separate entity. And likewise, regarding our discussion, regarding the amount of people involved in praising the value, in terms of redeeming it, according to the Tanakhama, it's like the Eved himself. Eved himself is like Karka, needs 10 people. According to the other sheet, the 3 is enough. Neima haniketa tanoi kane tanoi. Perhaps this Machlekes Tanoim corresponds with another Machlekes Tanoim speaking about a very similar topic. And perhaps they are related. This non, we have a Mishnah, Rav Meir Omer, Yesh Dvaram Shein Kekarka. First, before we begin, we're meant to know that there's no shvua, there's never an oath presented on things, on disputes and discussions relating to real estate. It's excluded from a pasuk. Says Rav Meir, there are some things which appear like real estate, they're connected, they're growing off the ground, Ve'enon Kekarka, but halachically, regarding a shvua, we don't treat them as such. Because they're about to be picked, etc. They're treated like regular items that justify a shavua. Ve'ein chachamim, moedim loy chachamim disagree. While it's on the ground, it's part of the ground. Ketzer, for instance, Reuven accuses Shimon. He has a claim. Esher gifonim tu unois masarti loch. Remember, I handed you over 10 loaded vines for safekeeping. Where are they? V'aloimer ein anel chachamim. She says, here's your 5 vines. 10? Never happened. Only 5. This is your classic moed b'miktas, partial admission. If it would be on metaltalin, it would trigger a shvua. He would have to swear to defend his position. But when it's karka, such as here, Ramir Machayev, Ramir says, you do have to make a shvua. Why? We'll see in a minute. That's because it's loaded with grapes, which are about to be picked, which are no longer considered real estate. V'chacham, I mean, no, kolam achubar l'karka. Hariyo ki karka, if it's on the ground, it's still attached, part of the ground, there's no shvua. Let me explain the machlek. We're speaking that the full of grapes. We're speaking that grapes that are about to be picked, fully ripened, Mar Sover Meir holds, they're considered off the ground. Kibtzura is done, as though they're unpicked. And therefore, Yishvua applies. Umar Sover Lava, Kibtzura is done, Chacham disagree. While it's on the ground, it's still on the ground, it's still part of the ground. And therefore, likewise, regarding the hair, which is about to be shorn, we have a similar machlek, whether we consider it a karka or not. No, so the Gemara Loi, perhaps the two things are unrelated. Afilo Tamer Rav Meir, perhaps even Rav Meir would agree that the hair on the Eved is still part and parcel of his entity. Ad kan like Amar Rav Meir Hasam, perhaps it's only there by the grapes. Rav Meir considers them separate, because kol kama de shavkalu, because the longer you leave it, it's going to dry up and shrivel. Mikhesh kachshi. So of course, it's a separate entity. Aval sorry, but hair. Yeah, it's long enough to be shorn, but you know what? The longer it stays on, the more it's going to grow. Kakama de shavkalu, ashbuchim ashbach, it's going to grow and enhance the Eved. So perhaps over there, even Rabbi would agree that it's part of the Eved. So we can't really connect the two discussions. Dini nefashis. The Mishnah says, just as the 23-member court is required to put a person to death, likewise, when it comes to putting an animal to death, for instance, a reveya venirva, an animal which interacted physically with a man or a woman, just as the man has that verdict presented by the dayanim of 23 bezin, likewise the animal taking a life requires 23 dayanim. Kapasik betani. So the Mishnah states it as a blanket statement, loishno reveya zachar, irrespective of whether the animal interacted physically with a male interacted physically with a female. Either way, the same halacha applies. He's put to death via the Bezin of 23. I understand that if he interacted with a woman, the pasuk says, so the same concept, the same procedure that applies to the woman who sinned with the animal applies to the animal himself. What about interacting with a man? How do we know the animal gets the same verdict, the same process? When a person goes out and interacts with an animal, so it's an adam which is ba ala behema, right? So the animal is like a female to him. So in that case, moisumas, he's put to death. And the Gemara says, really, this pasuk is an extra pasuk, because we already have another pasuk for this type of circumstance. It says, isha sha'itein shchafte v'behema, right? So, if this pasuk of kol sheikha and behema is unnecessary for this type of situation, let's switch it around. Tnei v'inyin l'nishkav. Let's apply it to a case where a man applied the animal to himself. Okay, so we learn from here, Va'afki Rachmana B'lashon Sheichev. So why did the Pasuk word it this way, as though he is presenting on the animal? La'kusha Nishkav L'Sheichev, to connect the two circumstances. Ma Sheichev, Hu Behem Tebe Esam L'Shleisha, just as a case where he is the Sheichev on the animal. So just as he gets Misa with 23, the animal as well, and Rashi says, you know how? Because we said Vesa Behema Taroigu, right? That was the other pasuk. Vesa Behema Taroigu. We connect the person to the animal. Just as the person gets Chav Gimel, the animal gets requires Chav Gimel. So likewise, Av Nishkav, if he's on the receiving end of the animal, so if the animal interacted with a male, Hu Behemta Vesa Mishloisha, the same applies. Esa Mishloisha is applied to the animal as well. So basically, we have all configurations of interaction with an animal, whether it's male-oriented, female-oriented, both ways, the same halacha would apply. Continues the Gemara, Sharon Iskel, right? Likewise, an animal, a wild animal killed somebody. He's put to death by skila, by stoning. 23 dayanim are required. Esem reshleisha. Why? It's a pasuk, shenemar. Hashari yisakel, okay. V'gam ba'al of yumas, which is an extra part of the pasuk, because we know the person, the owner, is not put to death on account of his animals, you know, Mili, right? So Kamisa Sabai and Kamisa Shah, rather the pasuk is trying to connect. It's teaching us to connect, to relate both things to each other. Just as the Misa Sabailim, in a case where a owner or a human being is put to death, 23 Dayanim are required, likewise, to put the animal to death. How do we know the pasuk is coming for this? How do we know these words are coming to teach us? Look, Kamisa Sabailim, Kamisa Shah, it's coming to connect the animal to the Shah, the animal to the person. Maybe we should be learning the pasuk literally. Rashi says, L'chayiv misa l'ba'alav. V'n'chayiv misa. Person's animal. Person wasn't careful with his animal. Went out and killed. The owner is responsible. He's put to death. V'echi mafki nadlai mipashta l'gamr, says Rashi. What right do we have to divert, so to speak, the pasuk from its literal meaning? To use it to connect to the animal, the aloch of chavgim. Sounds like one came because if it were so, only to teach us that the owner is put to death, lichtev, it should just say short, v'gam ba'olav, put the animal to death, and also the owner. V'lushta can stop there. The added word yumas is coming to indicate more than literal, coming to teach us that we're just trying to connect the animal to the person conceptually. The person is put to death by chav gimel under ordinary circumstances, when he's deserving of death. Likewise over here, the animal needs the chav gimel. So that's the ma'ikas rachman ha'achi. No. The pasuk could not have said it without the word yumas, because if it would have said it that way, I would say that the owner is put to death, literally. But b'skila, I would say he's put to death with skila, just like the animal has skila, which is a very severe form of punishment. So perhaps that's why the pasuk has to add the word yumas, to tell you, no, the owner is not deserving of skila, he gets just a standard punishment. Rashi says, when it says yumas in the Torah without further description, it means chenek, by choking. So that's all the pasuk is telling you. Says, how could you even have that notion that the owner of an animal gets skila? Imagine if the owner himself, a person murders, he gets killed by sword, which is a lighter form of death. Mamona Beskila, can you suggest that if his animal, his possession, kills, the owner gets a more severe form of death, Skila? There's no way you could even think that. Well, says the Gemara, V'dil Mahayda Kasar Rachmana Yumas Lakuli Olay. So maybe we can go with a different approach. That the pasuk is simply telling you the owner is put to death, but a very light form of death. To tell you, lakuliya, to make it easy on him, lafuki misayif lachenek. You see, if he himself would have killed, he gets killed by sword, saif. But now that it's only his animal, he gets chenek, which is a lighter form of misa. So again, it's literally telling you to put the owner to death. Okay, this can be solved if you hold like the opinion that chenek is more severe than saif. So it wouldn't make sense that Torah is upping it. If he himself killed, he gets saif. It's only his animal, he gets chenek. That wouldn't really work. So you can't go with that approach. Elul mandam chenek kill. If you go into the other shita, this machlok is later on in Masechta, we'll see, that chenek is the lightest form of punishment. So perhaps that's all the pasuk is doing, downgrading from one misa to the other. But the owner is literally meant to be put to death. That's all. Michael Amemar. You can't suggest that the owner is chayiv misa dechzivka. The pasuk later on says that the owner can issue a compensation payment to the relatives of the victim. Im kayfu yushas olav. That can only be if he's not chayiv misa. A person who's chayiv misa himself, you can't substitute misa with payment. Visa kadaita baktalu. If you're going to suggest that the owner is chayiv misa, literally, the pasuk elsewhere says you never meant to take payment from a killer. Leisikhu kayfer nefesh ritzeach. Well, says the Gemara, yeah, here it's different because he himself didn't kill. Adrav, it's the opposite. Mishmi gufa. Exactly as such, because he didn't kill himself. Katal iyu leisis klebe mina. True, that pasuk there is speaking about a murderer. Yeah, he can't suffice with payment. Ela b'ktala, only through death. Katal shoyder. But here in our discussion, we're talking about his animal killed. Lifrok nafshibe mina. Perhaps that the Torah is giving him that payment option. So back to square one. All we see in the Torah is that the owner is chayiv misa. That's all. We don't see anything about the bezin of Chav Gimel being required for the animal's death. Elam or Chizki, I'll bring you the raya for that. If a pasuk which says a killer is put to death, he's a reitzeach. We learn from here reitzeachu only if he's personally a killer. Al reitzichasi ata hergoi. Misa is only applied to the killer himself. V'ata hergoi reitzichas shorev, not if his animal does it. So that's not an option. So back to our pasuk, Hashari Yisokel means the shor is put to death. V'gam ba'alavimus means not the owner is put to death. Rather, the misa of the shor follows on a similar track. It's covered by the same guidelines. It requires the bezin of Chav Gimel just like if the owner would be chayiv misa. But of course, in this case, he's not. Iboilu, now comes an interesting shaila. Okay, we've established whenever a shor gets misa, whether it's because of an avera, because of killing someone, he's put to death. What about Iboilu Shor B'Sinai B'Kama? So back in Matan Torah, there was a warning, don't approach Har Sinai while the Shechina is there. A person or an animal that does so is put to death through Skila. How many Dayanim are required to put that animal to death? B'Kama. Mi Gomar Shom Midaris, shall we learn? A timely halacha. Halacha which is only sort of a short-lived halacha. Do we learn it from Duris from the generations later? Just like later on, an animal is only put to death through Chav Gimel, likewise during Har Sinai as well. Eloi, or perhaps the two things aren't related. By Har Sinai, it's a different system. Toshma, the Tanur Rabbi Bar Yecheskel, Im Behema, Im Ish LeYichya, the pasuk connects the animal to the person. Just like, my Ish, a person requires Chav Gimel, B'Chav Gimel, Af Behema, B'Chav Gimel. Rashi says, how do we know that a person gets Chav Gimel? So Rashi says, the Ish Pshitel, and it's clear to us, that Chav Gimel are required over there, the Kvar Hugbu, the Yisroel, Sanhedrois, Miyisra Ve'elach, says Rashi. Who established the first Sanhedrin? Interesting trivia. Yisroel, from the time of Yisroel, right? So we already had the system going from way back. So it's clear that a person who's put to death requires Chav Gimel, and likewise an animal. Okay, the Mishnah continues, proceeds to the topic of wild, untamed animals. So the Mishnah says like this, if we go back to Beis HaMaralef, we have a whole long list. Tanakama speaks about a ze'ev, a ri, a doiv, a nomer, right? A leopard, a bardos, a nachosh, and a snake. Misasan v'esrim v'shleisha. They're meant to be put to death. You need a full court for that. Rav Lazar Omer kala koidim lahargan zacha. No, you don't need such a complicated procedure. Just a formal process. You jump in and kill them. You're a winner. Okay, zacha. Rav Akiva Omer, no. Misasun b'esem shloisha. They require a full formal a court session, which almost sounds like the Tanakhama. The Gemara will discuss that. So the question is like this. Did these animals do something wrong? Or are we just trying to do, you know, prevention here? Is it a preemption? Or is it a response to an act, to violence? Amar Reish Lakish, who shame is so? No. When Reb Leza says that you can go ahead and just kill them, that's when they killed. They did something wrong. So Tanakama says, even there, we need a full court. Ulaza says, no, don't wait for that. Jump in and kill them. Chaparan. But let's say they didn't kill yet. An innocent leopard walking the streets. Lo, you have no right to kill him. Alma Kosovar. Rish Lakish holds. Yeshlein Tarbus. You know, these animals have the potential to be trained, to be domesticated, and therefore they're considered under the jurisdiction of its owner. They're able to be owned, so to speak, or able to be controlled, so to speak. They're considered your possession because you can train them, Beishlam Ba'ilam. So therefore, says Rish Lakish, of course you have no right to just kill them randomly. If they killed somebody, fine. Rav Leza says, Chaparai, kill them, but otherwise not. Rabbi Echnamar, no way. These are naturally wild animals. They're not given to training, to domestication. Even though they haven't yet killed, Chaparai, and kill them, as an act of prevention. Amakosavar, he holds Einlam Tarbus, Einlam Bailam, they're not able to be domesticated properly, and if so, they're not given to be controlled, so they're not considered owned. Interesting point. You can't own something which you cannot control. Therefore, you have a right to kill. Somebody has a right to kill them. So again, Rosh Lakish says, they are considered owned and controlled, but if they go out and kill, oh, that changes the whole story, because now it's been made clear that these animals are not given to being tamed. But otherwise, their default status is, yes, they are trainable, domesticatable, and ownable. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Tanadra Blazo, Emir Kala Koidim Lahurgan Zoch. Whoever jumps in and kills them, he was Zoch. He's a winner. So Bishlam Rabbi Yechanan. Now the word Zoch, what does that mean? It's called Rabbi Yechanan. Halachically, they're like Hefka. So Lomai Zoch, what does it mean? Zoch? Zoch Lairon. He can walk away with the hide of the animal. One who kills them can just keep the hide. They're considered like ownerless animals. Elder Shlokish, Kunder Shlokish. How could you be Zoch anything? They belong to somebody. Lamai Zoch. What does it mean, Zoch? Kivishim Yisro. Because we're speaking that the animal killed somebody, right? So true, we don't have to undergo the whole formal process according to our blazer. We do a fast track system. You can just jump and kill them, right? But in terms of the animal's status, the Chachamim simply expedited the legal process, but it's as though the animal underwent a legal process through a bez, because it's an owned, it's something which is owned, something which requires a proper legal process. So true, in this case, we don't need the bez, like you would by an ox that killed, right? The Pasuk says, an ox that killed is put to death, but you need a whole formal process. And once the bez issues a verdict, the animal becomes totally off limits, asur bahano, you can't have any enjoyment from it, as the Pasuk there says, right? So likewise, in this case, it's no different. It follows the same legal track, just expedited. It's as though it already went through the process, got the verdict, and became Asur Bahana. Again, according to Rabbi Yechon, it's Hefker. Just kill it. It doesn't need a formal process. It doesn't need a formal litigation process. Just kill it and keep the hide. According to Rish Lakish, it does require a formal process. It's just a Chachamim expedited. It's a wild animal. We're not waiting around. So we fast track it. It's as though you've received your verdict now. And the verdict basically triggers an Isser Hana. Kivan Shemisu Shavin Rabban considered Kiman as though the Gemara denies. As though the verdict was issued through the Bezdin. Visur no. It's totally off limits. You can't have an offer from it. My Zacha, Zacha L'Shamay. Zacha just means he got himself points in heaven for protecting the community. Tanakh Masid Rishlokish, writer Shlokish. That this indeed is the pshat in the Mishnah. Echad sher shehimis, whether it's an ox that killed, vechad behem v'chay shemisu, other animals, b'chav gimel, it requires a full-fledged court system. Relaza oimer sher shehimis, v'esem reshloish, yeah. A domestic animal, a sher, requires a formal process. But v'sha'ar behem v'chay shemisu, all the other wild animals that killed, Just jump in and kill them. Kalakardim lahargan zachab hen l'shamayim. You got points in Shamayim. This is consistent with Rish Lakish's approach. Rabbi Kiva Yom Misasim Besim Rish Lesha, which is pretty much like the Tanakam, which is repeating Tanakam that requires a formal system. Rabbi Kiva Yom Tanakam, Ikebrayim Nachash. There's one difference here. Tanakam included Nachash on his list. It also requires a proper litigation system. Whereas Rabbi Kiva holds that a Nachash, he's the worst of the worst. He's the Nachash HaKadmoini, he represents the Eitzahara. He's as vicious and vile as he can get. And here you don't need Chav Gimel. Rashi brings the Mishnah in Bava Kama. Nachash Muad La'ilam is considered pre-warned. And Rabbi Kiva would agree in that case, you can just take him out. Ain't done it, Mishnah says. Let's move on to the next stage. Which topics, which processes require the full-fledged Supreme Court of 71 Dayanim? The Mishnah says, if you want to judge, done, a Shevet, a full tribe in Klal Yisrael, it requires the Supreme Court's involvement. Now, what did they do wrong? Hai Shevet, what did they do? The Chatur B'mai, what sin did they commit? Ilayim Shevet Shechilas HaShabbos. We're speaking about a Shevet that was Mechal HaShabbos. It turned on the light. Why would that change the whole system? Why would that require a Bezn of Shivim Ve'echad? Eimar, the Palagur Achmana. When do we find that the Torah drew that line between individuals who sinned and a collective community that sinned, ben yichidim merubin, that's only regarding avodah zarah, leading avodah kechavim. So an individual gets skila, but a whole city, right, gets a sayif, it's a whole different system. But b'shar mitzvahs mipali, wouldn't we find any distinction between individuals and communities regarding other avodahs? So apparently it cannot relate to a sin like Shabbos. Ella b'shevet shehudach. We're speaking about a shevet that got thrown off the tracks, it got missionarized into avodah zarah. And since it's a whole Shevet, we treat it like a community, which goes with a different system, and requires Shivim Be'echad, like a Iran Edachat, like a full city that was taken to Avodah Zarah. Remember, do you mean to say the Bedina the Rabbin Dainin Alei? That we treat a Shevet as a Rabbin? Like Iran Edachas? Keman, like Rabbi Yenison, it's not consistent with any Shita, not Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Yenison. They would not consider a shevet like Iran Edachas. The Sunday we find the Brice as follows. Ad kama oisin Iran Edachas. Iran Edachas means a city which committed avodah zarah. Until what point? How many residents are there in the city? What's the maximum to be considered in Iran Edachas? It's a very limited window. Miyud from 10 vad kuf till 100. The Rabbi Ashi. Rashi explains less than 10 is not a city. More than 100 is already a tzibur. A tzibur is beyond, a totally different, realm. So, if it's anywhere between 10 and 100, then we treat it like Ir HaNidachas, and there's Saif applied, that's by sword, but past that, then we treat them like individuals and they get skill. So here we have a whole Shevet, we assume it's 100 people, it's not really going to conform. Rabbi Anderson, I remember Kufa Drubi Shal Shevet. He takes it a step further. Ir HaNidachas qualifies if it's anywhere between 100 members in town, up until most of a tribe, but past that, again, too far gone. Fulfill Rabbi Yehonasan Likamar, El Rubi, even Rabbi Yehonasan only took you to most of the Shevet. But if it's the entire Shevet, it doesn't qualify. So what does the Mishnah mean? A Shevet is going to be judged with Shivim Ve'echad. Amar of Masna, Hachi, Hacha. Right? So basically, if it's a full Shevet that committed by the Zorah, we treat them like individuals, like Yechidim. They get Skila through a Bezin of 23, they don't need 71. Amar of Masna Hocha Benasi Shevet Shechat Askin. Oh, the Mishnah meant a Nasi, a leader of a Shevet, that did any sort of sin that requires Misas Bezen. Benasi Shevet Shechat Askin. Why is he upgraded to Shivim Ve'echad? Miloy Amar of Adar Masna. Just as we say later, Kol Adavar Agadol Yivu Alecha. So Yisrael told Moshe, all the heavy matters will be brought to you. And we learned that it means Dvarav Shel Gadol, matters pertaining to a prominent person. Requires Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was on par with 71 Zekanim, so he had a din of Shivim Ve'echad. Hainami here as well, Dvarav Shel Gadolu. If a Nasi of a Shevet commits a grave sin which requires Misa, right? A Nasi is called an Adam Gadol, and therefore it requires a Bezin of Shivim Ve'echad. Okay, we'll continue by Tibet Hashem. In the meantime, we have a Gemara regarding how many appraisers are required for Erech and Shemotatlam. We have three pshatim there. Karka, The question of something which is about to be shorn or picked, what status does it have? Even an animal requires a bezin of 23 regarding Revea Nirva, regarding Skila, Sharon Iskal. We discussed status of the lions and the leopards. At what point are they liable to death? The Nachash and the din of the Yeshevet requiring Shivim Be'echad, according to one, the first pshat, we speak about a Nasi Yeshevet. All the best to you, that's Lacha Rabbah.